This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Parshas Vayera, three items that I'm looking forward to share with you this evening. Three new wonderful ideas. The first one I saw in Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein's Sefer, phenomenal Sefer, and a really exceptional idea. Let's go through the opening psukim of the parsha, and that will help us understand the question that is going to be raised. The parsha begins with Avraham Avinu recovering from Bris Milah at the end of last week's parsha. Vayero Elov Hashem be'elone mamre v'yoshev pesach el kachoy mayoyim. Familiar posuk. Next posuk. Vayiso eino vayar v'hine shlosha anoshim nitzovim olov. He lifts up his eyes and he sees three men, what they appear to him as men. And then the malachim come, etc. And he gives them food, the hachnos sarachim of Avraham Avinu. Then, jumping to posuk yud, vayomer, and they come and tell Sarah the good news. Shoiv oshuv eilecho ka'es chayo, v'hinei ven l'sor eshtecho. They tell Avraham Avinu the good news that his wife Sarah, who's been barren all these years, 89 years, is going to have a child. The Sora Shemas Pesach Ha'ohel V'hu Acharov, and she's actually listening from the Pesach of the Ohel. Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'Avram V'Sora Zakenim, they were very old, Boim Bayomim, Chodalius L'Sora Erach Kanoshim, biologically she shouldn't have been able to have children. Pasuk Yud Beis, V'Titzchak Sora Bekirbo, Sora laughs, Bekirbo, inside her, I guess that means, we'll see exactly what it means, but it means sort of not an outward expression of laughter, but an inner laughter. At this age in my life, my husband is so old, we're going to have children. He's 99 years old. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then comes to Avraham and says, why is she laughing? That's the familiar opening of this week's Sedra. A question which I encountered, which I haven't really thought of, and to my embarrassment, it's lovely when you come across questions which you think, Till now, the whole dialogue has been with the Malachim and Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends these three Malachim, and the opening 10, 11 Psukim, the Malachim are communicating with Avraham Avinu. On this final point, Lomo Zeh Socha Katzara, who's talking? Vayomer Hashem. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to enter the conversation at this stage to rebuke Sarah? Why couldn't the Malachim say it? They were doing all the talking till now. The Malachim should have said to Avram, by the way, why is Sarah laughing? We're telling you good news. Why is she not believing in this? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to intervene? The Malachim were there. They were speaking till now. They could have happily said it. That's the question. So L'chaira, the answer is Vatishak Sarah Bekirba. She laughed inside. It wasn't an external laughter which the Malachim would have noticed, and therefore that's why they didn't notice. And that is sort of supported by the pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem Yodea Machshavos Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the thoughts of man, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to ascertain that, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one to rebuke and says, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, lomo zeh tzocha katzara. Seder. The difficulty is this. There is a Tosfos in Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis, which suggests that Malachim do know a human being's thought. So then, if Malachim know a human being's thought, then the Kasha reappears. Because if the Malachim know what the person is thinking, then they knew that Sarah was laughing. And again, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to intervene? The Malachim could have done so. They know. How do I know? How does Tosfos know? So Tosfos there in Shabbos is talking about, the Gemara is talking about Malachi Asharis, whether they understand Loshon Arami, Aramaic. It says Tosfos over there. The Gemara says, She'ein Malachi Asharis makirin b'Loshon Arami. So the Gemara says Tosfos, v'teima. I don't understand that. Da'afilu machshava shebelev kol odom yoidim. Malachim know the thoughts of man. Veloshna rami ein yoidim, and they won't know this particular dialect. They know people's thoughts. So if, according to Tosfos, Malachim knows a person's thought, then why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervene? And furthermore, a second question, how does Tosfos deal with the pasuk of Hashem yodea machshava yisodom? That suggests that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the thoughts of a man and not Malachim. And yet Tosfos clearly is of the opinion, Afilu Machshava Shebelev Kol Adam, Malachim know. So how did, so two questions on this Tosfos. Number one, the question we started with, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervene? And question number two, how do they understand the Pasuk Hashem Yodea Machshavos Adam? So, in order to answer this question, Rabbi Bernstein refers us to someone called Rav Moshe Chagiz. Rav Moshe Chagiz, in there's a sefer Mishnas Chachomim, says something very, very interesting. When you have a thought, there's a process. There's a process until sort of you can formulate your thoughts. There's like an initial stage. Sometimes, you know, there's something bothering you and you can't quite put your finger on it. You can't quite articulate it. It's sort of, you know, reverberating in your brain, but you can't quite understand what's bothering you. And then it takes a while until you process it, you think about it, and then you can formulate your thoughts. You haven't even expressed it yet. So there's a process about how your thoughts are formulated. Take a look at the Mishnas Chachomim, the third box on the page. This can explain Tosfos Kasha. How can it be that they don't understand Aramis, they understand the thoughts of a person? Tema. Shafilu machshava shebelev adam yodim, Tosfos Kasha. Makshin. Shehashem hu yadeh machshavos adam, ve'ech yomu shamalochim hem yodim. Furthermore, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem yodeh machshavos adam. So how can you say that Malachim understands? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands. Those are our two questions. Listen to this. Elo. Second paragraph of the middle box, the bottom box. Elo sheyesh hefrush ben Hashem yisborach, shehi yis'ale yodea ha-machshova shehi bekloyes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows our thoughts before we can even formulate those thoughts. Sha'adayin ein bo mamish. There's just nothing to them. They're so early that they haven't even been formulated in a person's mind. Hashem Adam ki hovel, because they are hovel. Rotzalomar Odom Hevel. What does that mean? When they're still hevel. In other words, normally you understand the Pasuk, Hashem Yodea Machshavas Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows man's thoughts, ki hovel, the continuation of the Pasuk, because Hema Hovel, they're hevel, we normally translate as vanity. So Hashem knows man's thoughts, for they are vanity, etc., etc. That's not pshat. Rather, the pasuk means Hashem knows man's thoughts. Hashem yodeh machshavos adam. Ki hei mahovel. Ki doesn't mean four. Rashi says it in this week's parasha. Ki has four lashonos. It means four different things. Here, ki does not mean because or for, but rather when. Ki hei mahovel. When they are hevel. Hevel over here does not mean vanity, but it means like air, they're formless. I.e., HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodeya Machshavas Adam Ki Heima Hovel, when they are still formless, before you yourself have actually articulated the thought. Now, therefore, continues the Mishnas Chachomim, Ava Machshava Hinosenes Belev, Hari Zuki Ilu Yotza Lachutz, Olafichach Yeshoim Dehiru Kadibradami, Va'oz Ef Shalohem Lemalochim Vedai Toso. But only when you formulated the thought and it's clear in your mind, then Malachim are able to understand it. Even before it's been formulated, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands it. In other words, there are stages to the thought process. Sora laughed internally, but there was something troubling her about what the Malachim was saying to Avraham Avinu. She didn't yet articulate that thought. At that stage, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. So therefore, it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who comes along to Avram and says, Lama zeh tzocha katzara, because the Malachim are not yet able to understand that thought. And that is pshat, Vatitzchak Sora Bekirbo. It doesn't say, Vatitzchak Sora Belibo, which is the normal expression, because Vatitzchak Sora Belibo would have meant she has a thought, which is a formulated thought, and she just doesn't express it yet. It doesn't say that, because that the Malachim would have understood. Vatitzchak Sora Bekirba means that it was completely inside her and it never even rose to the level of a formulated thought. That's what it means. So interestingly, that is why, in answer to our question, even according to Tosfos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to intervene. Because at that very early stage, the Malachim were not able to understand Sarah's thoughts. And if you think about it, even Sarah herself had not formulated it. So she herself couldn't yet quite put a finger on it. It was so early on. So that's why, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you think about it, later it says, V'atachachish Sarah lema lo tzochakti, ki yoreh v'ayomer lo ki tzochakta. We normally understand that to mean, it's a rebuke, it's telling her off, you did laugh. Don't say you didn't. Now we're understanding it differently. She was unable to recognize that she had laughed as the feeling hadn't yet been formulated. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was therefore not admonishing her, but informing her that actually, no, you were questioning me. You couldn't put your finger on it. This is an early stage thought process. No, ki tzochakta. He's not admonishing her, but he's informing her. So a very, very interesting insight of Rav Moshe Chagi's fascinating way of slightly looking, you know, slightly differently at this very familiar episode. In short, two questions. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to enter the conversation at this stage to rebuke Sarah? The Malachim could have done it. And according to Tosfos, you want to tell me that the Malachim didn't understand what she was saying, was it a thought? According to Tosfos, Malachim do understand. And further, so how does Tosfos deal with that? And second of all, so according to Tosfos, if Malachim understand, why did Hashem intervene? And second of all, how does he understand the pasuk ki Hashem yodeh machshavos Adam, which implies Malachim don't? Teretz is, Hashem yodeh machshavos Adam, ki heima hovel, not for they are vanity, but when they are formless, when they're sort of air, when they're nothing, in the very, very early stages. And it was at that early stage that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to intervene before the Malachim even able to understand it. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to intervene. And that's Pshat, Vatitzchak Tzor Bekirba, not Beliba, it was Bekirba, it was so inside her that it never even had yet risen to the level of a formulated thought. Okay. Poseida, let's turn over. That's the next page. Now, the next thing is an astonishing thing. If you've never heard this before, this is quite remarkable. I'm reading. This is what I'm going to read from you now. Is an extract from the Hakdama of the eighth Chelek of Rav Moshe Feinstein's Igros Moshe. So this is a very reputable source. This is Rav Moshe Feinstein, right, who we've all know and heard of, who, of course, was born in Russia. He was the Rav in Luban before he came to America. And this incident happened in the winter of 1931, early 1932. And he writes about, in the Hakdama to this Sefer, they write about this this story known in the Feinstein family. A remarkable episode regarding the daughters of Lot. Okay, take a look at paragraph, box number two. But Luban. In Luban, this is the place in Russia where Moshe was a Rav before he came to America in the 1930s. Hayu gedolei Torah rabim. There were many great Torah personalities. V'rabbeinu, and our master, i.e. Moshe Feinstein, hayu mesaper, he would tell the following story, as ha'maisa d'lalon, the following story, kedei laharasha hayu mehem she'egiu l'madregas ruach ha'kodesh kimat. That there were some people who had pretty much achieved a level of Ruach HaKodesh, shel gilui amiti b'Torah, of real revelation of Torah. B'tchilas choref tofresh pei beis. In the beginning of the winter in 1931, chola echod mibale habatim. One of the balabatim became ill. V'novel lemishkav, and he was confined to bed. B'min chayli muzar, in a very strange illness. His tongue was just very swollen. People realized that his end was nearing. And Rabbeinu Moshe Feinstein came to visit him. He asked for every single person in the room to leave, and only Rav Moshe would stay. And he explained the reason for his illness. Ledvarav Shavua Kaidim Lochin, about a week before that, Beshabbos Pashas Vayera, this week's Sedra, Hikshe, this Balabais, asked the following question. Kate Sad Zochu Bnei Sloit, how could the daughters of Sloit, Shamoshiach Yebetzetzoehen, the Moshiach would come from them? Because we know that Sloit lived with his two daughters. They thought the world had come to an end. He lived with his two daughters to perpetuate humanity. From one of the daughters, the eldest child, was called Moav. From Moav comes Rus, Rus, David HaMelech, and the whole Shashel is down to Melech Mashiach. He asked the question, how could it be that Lot merited that Melech Mashiach would come from him? Even though, was he not embarrassed with the Gilo Arayas that he did, living with his daughters? And he by calling the child Moav, it's well known that who the father of this child was. And this Balabais spoke in a very disparaging way about the daughters of Lot and Lot. Belailo, that night, two old ladies came to this gentleman who was sick in a dream. Their heads and their faces were covered with some sort of scarf. And they said to this ill man that they were the daughters of Lot. And they added, they understand his complaint. How could it be that Moshiach is going to come from them? And they came from the Olam HaEmes to give a response. Hein Ta'anu, they claimed, they could have explained their way out of this, and they could have said, listen, they come from the Mishpach of Avram Avinu, and they were saved in a miraculous way, they could have said that it wasn't the Maises Nus, we were saved in a miraculous way. They could have said that the whole thing happened through a miracle. We conceived sort of in a miraculous way. As it were, the Immaculate Conception, as it's known in other religions. That they weren't, there was no man involved, that as it was, the whole thing was derech nes. But liyase dos chadosh kanatzrus. Moshe says it before. And perhaps this could have been a beginning of a new religion, of Christianity. Vehein kor livnehem Amon and Moav. They therefore, bedafka, called their children Amon and Moav, which Moav is clearly, and Amon is intimates it, lohidia, to inform, shekashe isha misaberes, when a woman becomes pregnant, yesh levlad tomid av bosov adam, there has to be a biological human father. Bizchus ze emwai, because they wanted to avoid the possibility of a storyline that other religions use. Bizchus ze, in the merit of that, they sort of put aside their own shame to make sure that people wouldn't get the wrong end of the stick, to think that there's such a concept of a miraculous, immaculate conception, or whatever you want to call it. That's how they merited to have Moshiach. It was a great sin. What this man spoke about them was considered a very grave sin, because after all, they were doing this l'shem shamayim. Because he spoke in a degrading, disparaging way. And therefore, this man has to be punished. Like the Meraglim who spoke ill of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, their tongues sort of were elongated. Well, so too, this gentleman, his tongue became swollen in a very weird, strange way. And that's how he died. And that's how he will die. When this man finished telling Reb Moshe the story, he turned to the wall, and he passed away. Rabbeinu Rab Bekach Inyone Amiti, Rabbeinu Ayi Ramosha Feinstein, felt that this was true. Ma'acha Shehezba Nirele Hezba Amiti, he thought it was an honest, true explanation, and this is what he would tell his family. So, an astonishing anecdote, a story, brought in Igros Moshe, which is a classic Shailas and Tshuvas of Ramosha Feinstein in the beginning of Chelek Ches. Okay, written by the family of Ramosha, not by Ramosha himself. But this is a legend well known in the family of a story that happened to Reb Moshe in his early years in the Rabbonus in 1931-32 in Luban. An astonishing connection to this week's parasha. Okay, let's finish off with one final idea. Vashem pokad es Sarah. So at the end of the parasha, Kodesh Baruch Hu remembers Sarah, and she merits to have a child, to have Yitzchok. Says Rashi, famous Rashi, Somach parasha zu lekan. The connection between the previous parsha, i.e. that Sarah was taken for a second time now, shekala mevakesh rachim al chaveroi, that anyone who davens for a person, for who tzarech la'isa daven, he needs the same thing. Who ne'ene b'tchila, he is answered first, shenemar v'yispalel. V'somech lev Hashem pokad le'sora, k'odim shirip es Avimelech. A famous Gemara, that Avram Avinu davened for Avimelech because he was stricken after he captured Sarah, and let's say he became totally clogged up, all his orifices were blocked, and therefore Avram Avinu davened for Avimelech, and therefore he was healed. But because, as it were, Sarah needed the same thing, she needed some sort of a tefillah in order that she would be able to give birth, Hashem pokad Sarah, that koydim shiripes Avimelech. And therefore, Chazal in Baba Kama says, kol mevakesh rachmim al chaveiro v'hu tzorech lo yisadov. Anyone who davens for somebody else and they need the same thing, they're going to be answered first. That's the famous Gemara in Baba Kama, which Rashi is quoting. Now, two interesting horrors. Horror number one. What if, so this could be a very useful technique, and it is in fact a good technique, and there are now sort of initiatives to sort of promote this, that A davens for B, and B davens for A, etc. And, you know, that way they both need the same thing, they're davening for each other, and hune netzchila. What if, let's say you know that another person has a certain, you need a certain Yeshua. Yeah, whatever it may be. Parnasa is difficult for you, and you know another person who's struggling with Parnasa, so you daven for that other person. And then you're going to be answered first. That's what this Gemara means. Kol mevakesh rachim al chaveiro, hu tzorech lo yisadov, hu ne'ene tchila. You'll be answered first. Or whatever the issue may be. What if you are davening for that other person, but you're only doing it so that you can be answered? How altruistic does it have to be? So this question was put to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, and he said a very interesting answer. Based on the Maharal, he gave the following answer. What is the lomdus of this? How does it work? Generally speaking, when you daven, there needs to be, when you daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a certain thing, there needs to be a sort of a conduit, a tzinor, a pipeline coming down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to you. And that really, the tefillah, is that pipeline. That's what connects you to the Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of showers you with that bracha. It's through the koach of tefillah that creates the pipeline. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the tzinoris, through these pipelines, he sends down the answer, the Yeshua, the Rachman, whatever that you need. If you're davening for somebody else, you become that pipeline. If you're the pipeline, then you, the whole bracha is going to come through you. So Reb Zilberstein gives a moshel. This explains it better. Imagine I want to take my hose. With this weather, it's a sort of thing, it's a funny thing to do. But you want to water a dry garden. So you take a hose pipe and you start watering the garden. Now, when you turn the water on from the tap, the water goes through the pipe. Before the water even hits the grass or the flowers, the pipe itself is going to become wet, because the water is going through it. If I'm davening for another person, I am the pipeline. So therefore, I'm going to become wet, as it were, with the water that is being showered through before it even hits the other person. That's the lomdus of it. Says Reb Zilberstein, it's just a reality. If you're davening for another person, you become the conduit, and therefore the bracha is passing through you. You will be the beneficiary of that, even if it's not altruistic. That's point number one. Point number two, very interesting question. Avraham and Sarah had already been promised a child. In last week's Sedra, we're told, in this week's Sedra, Va'afal gav dekvahiv tichu hamalochim ke'es chaya ulesara bein, that this time next year, Sarah will have a child. So you see that she's already been promised a child. So what do you mean? Because I davened for Avimelech, therefore Sarah was going to be remembered, but the Malachim had already promised it. So even if he wouldn't have davened for Avimelech, the Malachim had promised it; it was going to happen. So what does it mean? Says the Maharal. This is the Maharal, not in Gurariah on the Chumash, but the Maharal in Chidushi Agodas in Baba Kama, on the source of the Rashi above in Sadi Beis Amud Aleph, the last box on the page. This is not a problem. Shahari Yaakov Omar. Listen to this. Kotainti mikola chasodim or mikola emes shahi. Yaakov Avinu says, I feel small because of all the chesed that you do for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shahayu yore, because he was worried, Shema nismatu zuchuyosov bishvil hachasodim. You know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle for you, then the problem is that your account in Shemayim can be depleted because of that miracle that happened. Bishvil hachasodim she'os HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'avroham, k'she'os HaKadosh Baruch Hu neis, Sheharag Melochim, when he killed the four kings, Hoyayari Gamkin, Shekibeleth Kol Schare, maybe all my schar in Olam Haba has been depleted because of this miracle that has been given to me. Shahari Hoyatzorech Kodesh Baruch Hu Lavticho Da'adayin Schare HaRemoy. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu had to reassure Avram Avinu, don't worry, Schare HaRemoy. Ve'ilu lo yisbal Avram al Avimelech, and had he not davened for Avimelech, Hoyamasha Osa Kodesh Baruch Hu Elof Shinosun Leben, that he would give him a son, miut mizuchuyosov, it would have been taken from his heavenly account. Achshav, but now that he davened, shayim mispalel avimelech, or bizchus zeh hayakadosh baruch hu noisim leben, hayukol tzidkosov kebatchila, v'lo hayishum nichu mizuchuyosov klal. In other words, if he wouldn't have davened, then the brach of having a child would have depleted his heavenly account. That's what happens. But if you daven for something, then it's given to you as a gift, and it does not diminish in any way the schar you get in Elim Haba. And therefore, you're right, Avram Avinu and Sarah have been promised they were going to have a child. But had he not davened, that would have diminished from their schar in Elim Haba. Now that he davens, then it doesn't diminish. Now that is a tremendous yesod, because we all need yeshuas in all different areas. So if you don't daven, then you can get the yeshuas, but it's coming at a price. If you daven for whatever it is, even when a person is well, you're davening for good health. Even a person has panos, you're davening for panosa, and you'll say, it won't come out a heavenly cheshbon. That's the power of tefillah. But if a person doesn't daven, you may get the thing, but it comes at a price. That's why Avraham Avinu, that's why it was so important over here. Because had he not davened for Avimelech, then the problem would have been that it would have come, you would have got it, but it would have been diminished your heavenly reward. The fact that he davened, says the Maharal, enabled, it became like a free gift, and it didn't take away anything from the Schar and Olam Haba. Very interesting, Maharal. So there we have it. Three ideas. The first idea that we've described, that with Vatischak Tzorah Bekirba, the Kasher on Tosfos, that phenomenal idea, Ramesha Chagiz explaining the whole episode, the beginning of the parasha, in a very interesting, a very different way. And then we have that remarkable story with the Ramesha Feinstein and the Daughters of Light, how they came to him, and how this gentleman had a difficult end, because he was mezalzal, he spoke disparagingly against the Daughters of Light. And then finally, Vashem Pokad Esora, this famous principle, Kalam Mevakish Rachma Chaver, Vusarach Laisudov, Unena Tchila, A, what if he's not altruistic, he'll still get it, and B, why they were, Avraham and Sarah had already been promised, so it was going to come anyway. Says the Maharal, yes, but it would have come at a price. The fact that they daven means that it's going to come as a free gift, and it won't diminish the schar that they're going to get in Elim Haba. Okay, we'll leave it there.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.